Welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, we're diving deep into the world of alternative financing and corporate credit, two powerful tools that can help small businesses flourish and thrive in today's challenging economic climate. Today, joining us is Michael Sean McCall, a leading small business funding advisor, corporate credit strategist, and business capital expert. Michael is passionate about helping entrepreneurs and business owners unlock their tailored financial solution to grow and build resilience in corporate credit profiles and ultimately protect the future of his of businesses. We're thrilled to learn from his expertise and hear his insight on empowering small businesses to access their full financial potential. Let's get started. So, thank you so much for being here today. And before we dive into the details of alternative financing for corporate credit, could you share a bit more about your journey? What inspired you to become a trusted advisor for small businesses and funding and capital strategies?
Sure. Thanks for that introduction. It makes me feel important. Didn't know I was so cool. As we were chatting beforehand, I started in the television industry, right out of college, and learned a lot back in those days. We were essentially building an industry. That's kind of how old I am. But you learned a lot about how corporate structure works, how deal making works, and how all that goes. Well, that was a great experience, but it was all out in Los Angeles. And being I'm from Atlanta, and I went out there with a plan. The plan was to go for 10 years and move back and have the experience. And I had in my brain I was going to go work for Turner Broadcasting, based here, CNN and all that stuff. Well, it was working flawlessly. 2000 came around, and I was hired, recruited to move back to Atlanta with another cable company, and that ended up. It was back when everyone was getting rich, on the internet without business plans and things like that. So I had a couple of really good years, and then at one point the investors just pulled out from underneath us. We had to let the whole company go, and get all our equipment out of the field. And after all that, the cable industry, I actually had another job at TNT, and they decided to not hire because there was a big consolidation going on, and there used to be, 25 top cable operators. Now there's a couple, and so all the deals got done corporately, and they just subsequently got rid of people that did what I did. And I had some fraternity brothers that worked at a financial planning firm, and they said, "Sean, why don't you come work with us?" And I'm like, "What?" So I did, I did it anyway, and I was interested in it, and I got my Series 7, my Series 6, all the licensing to do stocks and do everything. And frankly, was having a lot of fun doing it, working with not even wealthy people, a lot of wealthy people, but some families just starting out. They always was the old saying, it's great to plant the tree today, but the saying is, if you didn't do it 100 years ago, plant it today, kind of thing. So start whenever you can. Like all the sayings, every journey starts with a step. So that leads to small businesses, and started learning, and always supported local. But I started just seeing how important they were to the fabric of what everybody does. It seemed like all these wealthy folks that I was working with all own their own businesses of some type, and it's how they tied it all together and making sure that their retirement is not eaten up by the government, all of it, and things are distributed properly. And so I've started learning about using finance as a sort of an insurance policy, thinking of it less as a chance to triple their profits, on getting, Amazon when it first came out, more building a long steady plan. As I mentioned to you, things were great. My wife ends up pregnant with twins. Unfortunately, she lost one of the twins very early on, and through a miracle and very, very fantastic doctors, she was able to keep one of the babies. Did not come out, and because they thought it would, they thought her cervix was not going to close back up, but it did, which. The doctor kept saying over and over again, "I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like it." So the day she was going to come home, they diagnosed her with preeclampsia, if I'm saying that properly, and they had to do an emergency C-section. And so we were all ready for everything to get back to normal. And she, by the way, is a C-level executive who was conducting meetings literally all over the world from a hospital bed via Zoom. And so there we were now with a 3-pound, 9-ounce baby that had to be in the NICU here at Piedmont, which is a fantastic hospital. That was going to be just a short stint. Well, that ended up being almost 3 months. And so it was a long time where I basically wasn't doing anything, any working or anything. And I haven't really mentioned it, but I kept doing some sports marketing on the side, as through my old publicist at Fox, and really enjoyed that, but it wasn't a full-time thing. So I kept doing that, but I stepped away from the finance. And when he finally came home, I stayed home with him. And then she went back to work, and not very long after, we started trying to do it again, in vitro over and over and over again, till I said, that's it, and she did too. We're not spending any more money doing this. We've got the one baby. Well, about a week later, and I'll end this part of my life, I got a phone call from a friend, and he said, hey, are you and Robin still wanting to have another baby? And I said, well, yeah, but we've kind of given up because it's not going to. He said, well, are you open to adoption? And I said, sure, why not? Well, he had arranged a private adoption through an extended, as weird as it sounds, member of his family, like his third cousin, wife, was pregnant, and she did something, and they weren't going to stay married, so Ronnie was going to adopt their baby. Well, then at 6 weeks before the baby was going to be born, him and his wife decided to get a divorce. So he called us and said, would you and Robin be interested in adopting this baby? And we're like, oh, well, yeah. So we had to hire attorneys in Atlanta, attorneys in South Carolina. And literally 6 weeks later, I'm driving home with a brand new baby. It was weird. I felt like I'd gone to Target and bought a lamp. I mean, it was, it wasn't that easy, but it was literally all the pre-work, and they come and see your house. But the day we took her from the hospital, I don't think they even checked my driver's license. It was strange. But all of a sudden, we're at home, and now we have two kids, young, one preemie doing his struggles, and this brand new baby. So I ended up staying home for a while, and but what I started working privately with a couple of wealthy families, and kind of kept my toe in the water and helped them launch a nonprofit. And then about the 2016, a friend of mine offered me to buy one of his restaurant pubs. And I thought to myself, and I told him, he has four with a partner, and a fifth was a franchise in Alabama. And I said, man, I don't know anything about restaurants. I barely know anything about television, and I've been doing that for 15 years. And we're really close. And he said, no, he told me the stories. It does $1.2 million, $1.3 million in revenue. It's kicking out about 125 and 30 in profit. It's got a GM that's been there 5 years. It's got a kitchen manager. It's in a great location. And I knew that because I grew up in East Cobb, where it was. Few months later, I'm a tavern pub owner. And holy crap. I mean, I don't know. I mentioned earlier when we were talking, I always wanted to be a bartender in college, like my roommate was, but I could never get the guy to hire me. So I thought, finally, here I am. I might be 40, but or 45, but I'm a restaurant bar owner. And that cool factor lasted for about 30 seconds before I started realizing. It's funny. It's like, I remember when I was working at Fox, one of my friends told me, you have the coolest job I've ever seen in my life. He came into my office from out of town. He was traveling through LA, and I had this giant office with TVs. And he's like, this is so, you're the greatest job of anybody we've ever known. I was like, man, yeah, it's cool, but it's just like selling Charmin to Publix, which is a grocery store. It's just a product. It's a cool product, but trust me, this is more spreadsheets and more accounting and more deal making than yes, do I get to go to some games? I sure do, but I have zero to do with the coolness of this is just a product. It's the same thing with a restaurant. You realize that this is cool and all, but hey, wait, when do I need to order? Is the guy ordering right? Do people really like this food? How do you handle complaints? How do you deal with the crazy personalities? No offense to kitchen people. And who are fantastic. In fact, frankly, the job they do, standing on their feet for 13 hours for the pay they make, is quite astonishing. And It's controlled. A kitchen on a busy Friday night looks a lot like a remote booth at an NFL football game. The nonsense going inside that is chaos, controlled chaos. And then you learn how to deal with the bartenders, and you learn how to deal with the servers. The kitchen people are mad that the server's coming in asking for another ramekin of dressing. They want to charge the customer 50 cents. And then the owner's going, dude, you're not going to charge them 50 cents for an extra thing of cream, of ranch dressing. They just spent $200 on food. But you got to understand how they think, and then you got to get with them when they're supposed to put a certain amount of fries in there. They're grabbing a handful. You try to tell them, hey, man, money adds up one French fry at a time. And it sounds ridiculous, but we did an entire presentation on that over-serving of a half an ounce of fries for a week's worth of time. What it does to your bottom line will blow your mind. And the same thing with alcohol sales. We ended up hiring a private company to come in and weigh the kegs and secretly measure the bottles. And they weren't really over the top stealing, but it tests the weight. And you can look at the receipts, and there's spillage with kegs, so you know that some of the spillage. But with the liquor, it's pretty cut and dry. It's supposed to be an ounce and a half, and the math doesn't add up. And we got to a point where I would say, hey, look, around the rim, the rails, which is just around the bar, give them extra. I don't care. They're regulars, but the guy and family sitting down there over in table 72, who's here after their soccer game, just the guy who wants a vodka soda, give him an ounce and a half pour. He's not here to get drunk anyway. So you learn to manage all that. But the lessons really came with buying the place. We were in a good situation, still are, with a spouse that's, again, a C-level executive, and all the finances look good, but still getting approved for the restaurant to buy it through the SBA was a challenge. And thank God for them. They are a great service in this country, but they don't give those loans to everyone, and they're very, very tough on how they lend, because the SBA is really approving it, but it's a local bank that gives the money, and it's astonishing how little the local bank knows about the SBA process. So you almost have to be a mediator in it. So we ended up getting approved. We bought the restaurant for $500,000, and I think we borrowed $375,000. But they had our home collateralized. They had our 401k collateralized. They had anything you could think about making liquid, they had collateralized. And so, which was fine. The place was doing well, and just like you said, things were going great. Well, the summer came and things got really, really slow. And we knew that. We know that in East Cobb, Georgia, that in the summer people go to the beach. They go on vacations when the kids are out of school. It's pretty typical. It's not anything different than any other, suburb of the country. Well, you weathered that, but at the same time, a couple summers later, we ended up having a walk-in cooler go down 1 week. In the same week, walk-in cooler, payroll was due, excise tax was due. Our food truck came, our liquor truck came. The cable bill, you think cable, it's your house is $100. It was $800 at a restaurant, or $900. Plus the music fees, plus the band. You have a band every Friday and Saturday night, at $200 a pop, that adds up. You got the trivia guy. So at the end of the day, you start a Monday with $75,000, $80,000 in your operating checking account. And by Friday rolls around, you're down to $15,000, $10,000, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, wow. Well, I got all those bills paid, but you know what comes next Tuesday? The truck from Cisco, and it's full of food, and they're going to want their money. Same thing with the liquor guy. They'll roll in there with three hand trucks worth of alcohol. They leave with a check. And if they don't leave with a check, they leave with the alcohol that they brought. There's no, you're good for it in that world. Same with the rent, so all that came due. And we ended up with very little money in our account. And I started thinking, this is a problem. There's got to be a better way, because we had no way to access extra cash. And we were able to have, when we needed to put money in personally, as painful as it is, we were able to do that. But we had no lever to pull with the restaurant to get any capital out of it. And we couldn't, we went to the SBA and said, let us, can we touch our loan? No, not until you pay it off. But we weathered all that. We got through it. I ended up getting an alternative funding loan, which we can talk about in a little while, how to use them proactively and stuff. But then we ended up in a lawsuit with the fellows that sold us the place, and fortunately that turned out okay. We ended up still being friends, and but then the net of it was we had to rebrand.
Yeah.
And that rebrand was, probably another couple hundred thousand dollars, new signage, new interior, new everything. And it just adds all up. And we did that, and things were still going really well. I mean, we came out of it fired up. I mean, we had traffic, we didn't miss a beat. Same old customers were coming and new people. And then COVID came. And, I'm no special human being. It affected me just like everyone else. And yes, we got some relief. Our landlord gave us a little bit of relief, but only for a period of time. They gave us a relief on the rent, but the rent didn't go away. So although say rent was 15,000, we only had to pay eight, but we still had to, we had to make it up when September got there. So, it was nice enough, but it really didn't do a lot. Same with every other bill. That $800 Comcast bill is still there, even though you're closed. Tough. So we came out of it and we were still doing okay, but things were really, really slow. People coming back into the shop, and although we just rebranded, we were putting probably $1,500, sometimes $2,000 a week into of our own money after COVID, because people just were not coming back into the same levels. So we decided to walk away. And we had tried to refinance our house to pay off that rebrand. We couldn't do that. So we ended up alternative funding to do that as well. And through COVID, though, and relief from the government and all that stuff, we were able to pay off our SBA loan. We got a PPP loan to pay off some other stuff. And we ended up with one and a grant. And we ended up with one loan that we through the government that we had to pay back. And it's at a great rate. But it was still, $180,000 that we walked out of. And there's just a lot of people that can't weather that storm, right? And I consider myself to be a very fortunate, blessed human being, in many, many ways. So we would have survived, but a lot of people don't. And if you think about someone that works in a specific trade, it doesn't matter if they're a roofer, a plumber, whoever they are. They work their whole life and get a great reputation, and then they want to start their own shop, and they do that. And, just an easy example is they've got their house tied up. They need a car, new van for their new business. They use their personal Social Security number to guarantee it. They've already got their house and their personal cars. Everything they do for that business ends up personally guaranteed. And so, this one particular client got to me with, I'd gotten into the credit, building business credit at this point. She came to me and she had a heating and air company that was doing very, very well. They needed to hire three new technicians, and they just did not have the money, and they did not have any personal credit left. They had nothing. So we started working on their business credit, and it took 6 to 8 months, like it takes. They were able to go out and get new tools, new trucks, all on their EIN of their business without their personal credit. And we could get into the really, really boring aspects of it. Sometimes your personal credit still comes into play. Now you're going to look at it, but it's not personally guaranteed until you default, right? So, and it won't show up on your personal credit report if you have a business to business loan. But if you default on it, if you're a day late, it does. And so the lenders will only give you so much credit. It doesn't matter how much money you make and how good you are. And so, but through working proactively, well, it was reactively, but they were able to end up getting those new trucks and new tools. And she called me almost in tears, out of happiness. Versus the sad, the other side of the story is somebody that doesn't have anything in place. I'll give you a real, real world story. I've got an acquaintance close to being a friend that I met at a networking group. Young guy from Cuba. So impressive young man. I mean, this guy would show up. He's first generation. He would show up at our BNI meetings at 7 in the morning in a full-on suit. I mean, vest, double Windsor knot. I mean, and I asked him, "Why are you so dressed up, man? For everything." And he would meet me off-site and be all dressed up and tell me I'm gonna be 5 minutes late. He said, "Because I want to be a professional. I want people to look at me like I'm have with respect and know that I'm a real businessman and I'm not just a young kid." And he was that. He's smart. So I started telling him he started out just pet sitting. And then he got into pet grooming, mobile grooming, and bought a franchise with his cousin. And I said to them both, God is my witness, 2 years ago, I said to them, guys, let's start building your business credit. This mobile dog grooming, and I'm speaking from personal experience, costs a lot of money. I mean, I'm paying $200 for my one dog to get groomed. And good luck finding someone. You've experienced this to come do it. And I said, because the young guy's credit was toast from his student loans. His cousin had great credit. So that's who they were using. They said, no, we're good. We don't need anything. And I said, please, guys, come on. Well, here we are now, months later. And for the past, since November, I've been trying to help Alex. His cousin has pulled back from the business. Well, they had someone hit their second grooming van around Thanksgiving. That person is underinsured, and only thing they could get from their carrier was to pay off the van that they had. And so they are currently in a situation. He has no credit. His cousin is still silent, but his credit is maxed out, and they are unable to get a new van. So their business has gone from 40. $40,000, $50,000 a month down to 10 to 12. And I cannot get him financing for a new van, even alternative financing, because most of these alternative financing loans, and if you don't know, I mean, to make it simple, it's just like the personal lending and a mortgage. You have conforming loans, which are loans that the banks can sell in the secondary market. So they lend you $10, they sell it to another person for 12. They keep their two, and then they package them all up and sell them in packages. So they want those loans to be conforming so they can sell them. So there's no way they could get a commercial, a typical loan. But even the alternative funding loans, you have to have a certain amount of money per month, or you have to have an asset-based loan. And they had neither. They lost their asset, and now they don't have income. And I'm still working, and I think I have somebody to help him out, but they are in a situation that they don't need to be in. We're going to find them a solution, but those are the kind of situations you can get into. But the bigger thing, I know you do a lot with, your space is helping people and overcoming things and positive mindsets and the psychology, which is all fascinating to me. I've already told you, I don't even feel like I'm worthy enough to be in this conversation with you. Running the business is so hard. And you know what you're getting when you get into it. 99% of the businesses in the country are small businesses, and they are a lot of work, but it's the mental side of it that you don't expect when you become a small business owner. You know there's going to be stress, right? Because you're creating your own paycheck. But what you don't know is the stress that's out of your control. I listened to a podcast the other day, and she was saying, let them. Let them, let them, let them. And the messaging was, if someone's speaking ill about you or whatever, just let them. You can't control it. You can't worry about it. You can only control what you can control, which is great advice. That doesn't help you much on Saturday night on vacation when your gut is torn up because you're worried about making payroll. And it's constant worry. You can see me. I have gray hair. I promise you, in 2016, I had mostly brown hair. And it's gut-wrenching, and it causes suicide, it causes divorce, it causes people to lose. When you lose your business and it's all guaranteed by your home and your college fund, you can lose it all. And you're out of dice, man. At you're 60, 65 years old, you don't have another, you're out of place. So I want to see these companies on the front end. We use a proprietary system that I can offer anyone for free to come and utilize, and it'll tell them exactly where their business is. And it's not going to ask you for personal information. It's not going to ask you for numbers, and it'll ask you some guesstimates, but it's nothing that's going to haunt you. Like, you're not giving your social security number up or anything like that. But it'll tell you where you stand. And
No, go ahead,
No,
finish.
and then we'll look at that, and then we can determine what your best path is, right? It'll tell you what you're approved for now, what you have in terms of lender compliance done, what you need to do to get in compliance. And you can go through certain parts of it yourself. And then if you want some professional help, we can step in and help you with that.
I like that. I like that a lot. A lot of people need that guidance. Now, many business, small businesses owners may not be familiarized with alternative financing. Could you explain what it is and why it's a game changer for businesses that struggle with traditional lending?
Absolutely, because there is a very, very large amount of money that's given out every year to small businesses. It's something like 99% of the lending goes to small businesses, and it's billions and billions of dollars. But most of those loans, as we talked about a few minutes ago, are not conforming. And they're not conforming because I'll just give you some real world numbers. We tested 1,000 businesses with our business scan, and of those businesses, of the 1,000, I'd have to look it up over here, but I want to say it was 640 of them were compliant for traditional commercial bank loans. So
Wow.
that's the reason there is alternative funding, and there's B2B lending, like your food supplier will give you 90-day terms and things like that. So alternative funding could be a situation. Here's a great example of one. There's asset-based lending, right? So they'll look at a business. You've got a business that's not circling the drain, it's doing super well. And they're thinking to themselves, I don't need money, but or they should be thinking this way. I don't need the money right now, but I'm going to see about this alternative funding because what I can do is borrow against my invoices that I have to pay. So not AR, I mean money that you owe people for services or for product. And so if you know it's the off season and you can buy your product for the busy season at a lower cost, then you're protecting that margin for when you get busy. And you've done something, you treated your business almost like a hedge fund. You got your credit line for your business, but that the traditional line is out of cash. It's not going to give you any more. So that's when you had to look at the alternative, but it's got a great purpose, right? Because you use it for 120 days, you get that product, you get back in, and then you pay it off. And it doesn't have to go anywhere. That is a depository that you have, and it's there with you when you need it. It could be there for payroll in one of the situations. It could be a situation where, again, you don't have all those things in line for traditional loans, but you've got your SBA loan. But one of your competitors goes away, and now you need $200,000 or $300,000 because you want to buy them and get that book of business. You're not going to get it from your commercial bank. And if you can, I want everyone to hear this: run, go to your commercial bank and get it, right? But if you can't, you need to look at alternative lending. But it's so important when you do that because there are countless programs: asset-based lending, there's factoring, there's accounts receivables, there's these MCA loans, which are merchant credit advances. They'll look at your receivables on your credit cards, and you need $50,000 tomorrow, Stacy, I'll give it to you. But oh, we're going to debit it out daily or weekly, and it turns out to be 50, 60% interest. You don't want to be in that situation. There are people that use those effectively, though. So that's where the alternative funding comes in. There's a what we were doing, and there's a thing. It's called stacking, business credit card stacking. They'll go out. You can get 10 business credit cards with $10,000 worth of cash advances on them. Now you've got $100,000. Those business only cards will not report to your personal credit until you're late, and if you're a day late, they start reporting on your personal credit. And that's a big thing that folks have to keep in mind, right? When you turn 18 and you start getting personal credit, whether you like it or not, and you're a playbook that's being written. Business credit, not so. Only 7% of lenders that do business lending report to the business lending bureaus. And if you're not using one of them, you're not getting any business credit built. And so you got to know who they are. And that's something we provide. There's like 5,000 alternative lenders out there. We work with 3,000 of them, and we know exactly what where their credit underwriting guidelines are. So we won't ask you to apply for anything that we know you're not going to get approved for.
Right.
And we're also not asking you to spend any money. I'm not asking people to borrow money. I mean, we're trying to reallocate money that you have.
Right.
Example, silly example, but if you use a Home Depot card or an office, Max card,
Yeah.
get a business card for that and start building business credit instead of it just going to your personal credit.
Right, exactly.
And then, in terms of building the business credit, it's very, very tedious and boring, but it's not just building a good paydex score. They're going to look at your cash on hand. Make sure how many months in a row have you had X amount of cash on hand. That's going to give you what's called a bank rating score. Then you
Right.
got a small business scoring system, the SBSS, which looks at factors that only they know of. Wells Fargo has one, B of A has one, and that goes, you need to be above 160 on that to get
Yeah.
approved. You need to have above a 70 on the traditional paydex score. How
Right.
you get 70, you need to know that. How you get to the above 160, you need to know that. You also need to know that the way you apply for lending can impact you, right? So if you apply for alternative funding and it's there, then you go try to get an SBA loan. You're more likely to get declined for the SBA loan because they're going to see the alternative funding loan. It's better to get the SBA loan first and then
Right.
get the alternative funding if you need it. They're going to look at your comparable credit. If you only have $10,000 in credit and you go ask for $200,000, it doesn't square.
Right.
There's something out there called business credit stacking, which is not the credit card stacking. This is where you'll go out and business loans do not report until you use it. So you could go out and get three lines of credit and now you think you've got 300 lines, or you think you're going to get 300 lines of credit. But what they look at, lenders, if they see more than three inquiries in a certain amount of time, they're going to be worried about that. They're worried that they've got a loan, you've got a loan that they don't know of, and they're going to turn
Right.
you down.
Yeah.
More weird things like NAV, which just looks at your social footprint. You have to have, and they won't tell you why they declined you. If you don't have a physical address and you're running around with the PO box, you're declined for commercial lending. You don't have a
Right.
phone number listed with 411, you're declined. You
Right.
have an email address that said add a Gmail, you're declined. They want a .com. They
Right.
want to look at they want to look at how long you've been in business. All those things, they want to know you're a real company. And it's
Yeah.
just stuff you don't know or you don't have time to
Right.
do or think
Now,
about.
you often talk about how corporate credit and smart funding strategies lead to a greater sense of freedom for business owners. Can you elaborate on how this freedom impacts long-term business success?
Absolutely. I like real world stories, right? So I had a client who has a business that repairs window dings. You get a little ding in your window and he comes to your house or you go there and they can, through some magic, I guess it might be voodoo, I'm not sure what they do, but all of a sudden it's gone. Well, he told me he had a plan. He had a plan to have his one shop, and then he had his he wanted to open a second one and a third one and a fourth one and get them all staffed using his system that he created. He competes with Safelite, and that was his plan. He wanted to get five locations and be able to sell them and then go do whatever he wants to do, but in order
Yeah.
to do that, he's got to have the capital to buy those locations.
Right.
And with again, guy, his wife works, he works, but they were just out of credit. And he couldn't buy anything. So he had to build his business credit profile up to be able to get funding.
Right.
It's really just that simple. And the peace of mind that you have, again, not worrying about bills, that helps you focus on your business more.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about using, the alternative funding to get ahead with a situation that you might need to take advantage of pricing. But if you have good corporate credit and a good plan in place, a combination of corporate credit and alternative funding, and you're working with a solid alternative funding lender, man, I'm
Yeah.
not the genius that's looking at those funds. I mean, I put you in our system and it spits out some programs for you, but then I'm going to hand you off to a pro in
Yeah.
alternative funding that's going to do a deep dive on your situation and put you in the right spot. And we only
Yeah.
want to do that when you need it. The better
Yeah.
thing is to have that corporate credit built And again, they're going to look at your personal credit. It's a system, but you want to know that you have the money when you need it, good or bad. That's really it. That's it, how you can grow your business, protect it. You're not worried about losing it, but I've got the funds when I need it to capitalize on something maybe my competitor can't.
Now, for entrepreneurs who are just starting out, what's the single most important piece of advice you can give them regarding funding and credit?
I would say the same thing my CPA told me the day we got that restaurant is, I know you want to change things. I know you want to do everything on your own. Whatever you do, don't try to do your financing piece by yourself. You don't know what you don't know, and it doesn't mean that you're not smart. Again, my situation, I know my wife's brilliant. She's never made a B in her life, and she went to a very, very hard school and is ridiculously bright. And we didn't know anything about business credit. We just didn't know, and we don't know. Neither one of us really knew how to do the books, and put together the P&L. So he said, "Man, just keep that money." So I would say the same thing. Let's be proactive on getting your business set up properly, right? So if you have the foundation of the business, all those little things I told you about, the compliance things, that's number one. Let's get your business compliant, whether you're gonna need money no matter what. I don't care if you're Target, Walmart, or whoever, at some point you're gonna need to borrow money. It just makes sense. So that the advice is to be proactive and get pros doing the pro work. Whether that's marketing, but especially with your money. I mean, the fact is 82% of small businesses are killed because of cash flow. And it's not cash flow a lot of times because they don't have it. It's because it's where it's flowing. And it's not flowing to a spot where they can get it. So we just want to get people proactive and remove that worry and concentrate on being the best you can be, running your business. I
Oh,
mean,
100%.
yeah, so that would be it.
So from our discussion, if you had to emphasize on a couple of important factors, what are some things you'd like to emphasize to the listeners?
I think for me, it would be, I would encourage them to take the business scan that we offer. Again, we did it, we gave it to 1,000 businesses, and only 1% of them were completely compliant with what banks look for. And this is all done based on the bank's algorithms, facts that we know what they're looking at. We're looking at the exact same things. So I would like them to take the time to email me and let us run that business scan, and you can have it. And once you run it, you'll be in our system. Not so I can bug you, but you'll be in our system to be able to see that you're not compliant here. But if you do these steps, you'll get compliant. And as you move through them, you're going to get to a point where it's going to ask you if you need more help, would you like a coach? And so what we'll do is then we'll come in and do a deep discovery dive with you. And then if you want to move forward, we put you in the program and you're paired up with a professional business credit analyst. But let's just find out where you are, right? I mean, you might find out you're perfect. I had a guy tell me one time at a networking thing, "Man, I am good. I don't need you. I don't need anything. I am right as rain." I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "I've been in business 10 years. I've got 15 employees. I'm doing $1.6 million a year." Well, your personal credit is very personal and you can't pull it. Business credit, however, is public record. So I have the ability to pull business credit, and that's something else I'll do for people. If you want to know what your business credit score is, just ask me. I'll pull it up for you and give it to you. So I pulled his, and the Paydex score, which is just one little piece of business credit, goes from zero to 100. His was a 42, and you need to be at a 70 or above to get corporate financing. His recommended credit line was $1,000. So you're doing $1.3 million, $1.4 million a year, and what the banks are seeing is you're worth about $1,000 in credit. No, let's take the scan. Let's find out where you are. Is it, you might, here's a the, you know, it works two ways. I have a young guy, owns a roofing company here. It's big roofing company. His father retired, left it to him. And I thought, okay, this is great. And he's dating a friend of mine too, right? I mean, somebody that really likes me for some weird reason. And He said, "I think I'm good, but let's see." Well, I pulled his credit. He doesn't need me. I mean, he's solid. He's literally solid as he can be. I mean, he has very little debt. He's got more than 10 trade lines, which you need to have. He's got the 20 years in business.
Yeah.
If he needed alternative funding, he can get it at the drop of a hat. But his credit profile is fantastic. But we
Right.
only knew because we ran it.
Yeah.
Last story about that. One of my partners used to own one of these FedEx route businesses where you buy the route, then you hire your own people, and they're delivering the FedEx. Well, he was doing really well. He's out in Oklahoma. He had, I think, 30, kind of making that part up. He had about 30 routes. So
Yeah.
he had a big company going. He started with an 800 credit score, and by the time he was done, he sold that business and did really well. But the same reason he's in this business is because he realized when he was going through the due diligence to sell it, his personal credit score had dropped down to just below 600.
Yeah.
And it's not because he was late on any bills. It's just because they're only going to give you so much credit.
Right.
He thought there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
And we both ended at the same firm doing the same thing. And we're both doing similar paths, but on our own, because it's that important.
Yes, 100%. Now tell us some of the services that you provide.
It's really two things. It's the immediate funding, which we're going to look at and see where you are. If you need some, 9 times out of 10, I'll tell you that the people we speak to, their first priority and concern is money that they need right now. Right. So if in a perfect world, we prepare them to not ever have to get in that situation. But that the service number one is let's find what money you need and get it for you. Right. And the money, the you're approved almost instantly. We can get it funded within 24 hours, 48 hours. And the company that we use has been around for 20 years and has not a bad rating to be found. And it's so good. And then we would like, if you want to start building your credit, your business credit profile, to where you won't be in that type of situation. But part of the service, though, also includes getting your business straight in terms of lender compliance, like where your listings aren't matching up. Are you listed the same with the secretary? So all that boring stuff I don't want to bore you with right now. We also provide that. So
Right.
that's it. But people ask me for one word, I say insurance.
Yeah.
No one likes insurance, but you sure like it when you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, thank you so much for sharing your invaluable insights. Can you tell everybody before we go where people can find you?
Absolutely. The easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn, is one way, and it's Michael Sean McCall, and I can send you over my personal handle, or I think that's
Okay.
what it's called. But you can also email me, and that would be Sean, which is SEAN, at assurancebusinessconcepts.com. So it's Sean at assurancebusinessconcepts.com. Just email me and say, "Hey, I heard you on the show. I'd like to run the business scan. I'll get in touch with you and we'll do it. It won't take long. And I promise I won't haze you incredibly. I won't drive you crazy. But if I see a problem, I'm going to tell you about it.
Right.
And then we can pull your personal credit, and not your, excuse me, your business credit, and we'll go through that and find out where the holes are and how you can figure it. And all that's, I won't charge you for, I wouldn't charge anyone for any of that.
Right.
Because sometimes we see people that just aren't ready. We
Yeah.
call them wannapreneurs. I've met them at trade shows. They're a movie
Yeah.
producer. And then you find out they have a dream, which is great, but they don't even have an EIN yet, right? So, but that it's just, let's just, emailing me is the best thing to do. They can call me too. Do you want me to? I can give my phone number. I don't mind doing that. It's 404-431-1263. And I'm just text me or call me. If I don't answer, I promise you I'll call you back. But our firm is Assurance Business Concepts. We are, there's three of us that all came from the same firm we were with before. We have a wealth of experience. We have a CPA and West Point man. We've got some good folks, so I would love to talk to whoever, just to educate them a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, Sean, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you. I think the all the information you shared today was just a wealth of knowledge. So much information that people, small business owners especially and entrepreneurs can really use, because that's one of the biggest problems I see with people is that they have great ideas, great services, and they're lacking in the area where it comes to the business and understanding their finances, understanding what the next step is, and what are the right and wrong decisions, and how can they get the credit they need so they could, move forward? Because it is really hard to get credit, especially nowadays, the way our economy is. So, you really provided a great amount of information, and I hope you'll be back on the show and we can talk some more. And this has been just a wonderful episode with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I would love to come back, and I'll leave you with a parting thought. Think about your personal life. If you get your personal credit score over 700, 720, you can go to your mailbox, and what's it full of? Offers for
Yes.
the best credit that you can get. It's the same thing in business. Let's get you up to that 2%, 1%, and then the banks are going to be coming to you. That's who
Yeah.
they want to do business with.
Right. 100%. 100%. Well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I look forward to talking to you sometime in the near future.
I
Thank
can't
you.
wait. Call anytime.
All righty. Well,
Be
you have a
well.
great, you too.